Hi, I'm John Gormley. Sound advice comes in many forms, and when you're looking for a connected guy whose approach to financial and retirement planning, investment management, and income creation is a lot like yours, careful, planned, and always taking the right factors into account, you should meet Scott Bjornson of Living Sky Financial with IA Private Wealth. His mission is to provide a range of dependable services to hardworking people like you.
Welcome back, everyone. Scott Bjornson is here on Talk to the Expert, Senior Investment Advisor with Living Sky Financial, IA Private Wealth. We're going to jump right back into all the information you need to know this tax season. Let's talk about increased tax limits and some of the need-to-know information as you're getting your taxes together. What can you tell us there, Scott?
Well, I think, you know, for 2023 was one of the more significant increases in the marginal tax rates because of inflation. So, you know, last year, of course, where the first tax bracket ended around $50,197 with the federal government, it's now moved to $53,359. And, of course, second tax bracket from $100,392 up to $106,717. So this leaves a little bit of open room. But, you know, one of the other increases was actually in the, you know, clawback limits for those who have a clawback issue with old age security, which, of course, you know, individual income, over last year, nearly 81,000. And this year, of course, approaching closer to, I believe it's 86,000. I actually should have that number right in front of me. 86,912 this year versus, last year being, you know, just under, I believe it was 81,000. So that helps a little bit for you know, retired people who have high income levels or maybe extraordinary income from a capital gain from a sale of a property and things like that. And again, there's where the tax planning comes in. I mean, in advance, not last minute, right? You know, if you're planning on selling a revenue property, have sold a revenue property in 2023, look at your planning options. I've already talked to a number of clients this year who have that situation where, you know, we didn't buy an RSP last year because we knew we were going to have a way higher income this year. And RSP deductions are something that can reduce your taxation limits, especially when you're over 65, and can help you maintain more of your old age security, right? So little things like that. I mean, recently the letters would have come out from the federal government for those who have registered disability savings plans or RDSPs on their maximum limits for this year to maximize the grants and bonds from those. And now is a good time to look at that. We've already started, you know, topping up those contributions for this year. And, you know, within 30 days, the government pays out the grants and the bonds, and that can be as much as $3,500 and an extra $1,000 in a bond or $4,500 on a $1,500 contribution. So very, very, you know, effective for growth of money. Again, I'm even just looking at maybe you should take more from your RSPs in the form of a RIF withdrawal or make sure you're getting your pension income amount tax credit when you're over 65. You know, so a lot of things for those who are retired that I think just reviewing, you know, looking at the tax situation, saying, is there something more we can do this year? And asking those questions every year. It's one of the reasons why a regular review is so important.
Registered education plan advice. Hit me up with some of that.
RESPs, still $2,500 per year. We can buy up to $5,000 per child and catch up previous year's contribution. You know, of course, the December 31st is the deadline, not March 1st like an RSP. So, you know, the clients should get those contributions in as early as possible and potentially be doing them, you know, monthly versus trying to put lump sums in because it's always easier to do something on a regular basis. But building funds for your kids' education to take pressure off at a time when might have one or two children in school, you know, can be a really, really, you know, high pressure on a person's cash flow trying to pay for that when sometimes, you know, government loans aren't available for that. Something to look at early.
Definitely. And first home savings accounts, I know, I guess there's still the paperwork to come, but tell us how this will work.
Yeah, coming soon. We've been discussing with clients about it for almost a year since it was announced, and I think, you know, a lot more of the final guidelines came in last October, I think, you know, sort of finalizing in November. We're hoping to have these available by the end of April, early May. Of course, again, it's a bit of a paperwork issue with most financial institutions, and all, if not most financial institutions will offer the first home savings account. And this is going to allow, it's kind of a hybrid of an RSP and a tax-free savings account. So kind of a unique account where an individual can put up to $8,000 per year into the account and up to a maximum of $40,000 over 5 years. You can catch up some of those contributions as you go forward in future years. But the contribution, unlike, say, a TFSA or tax-free savings account, becomes tax-deductible. And you don't have to use it in the current year. So if you're in a lower-income year, maybe you've just recently come out of university and first year working and your income is low, you may not want to deduct it this year, but you could deduct it in a future year when your income is higher. Getting some money started to save into this, and you don't have to put $8,000 in. You can start with any amount. You and build it up over time. And then when you take it out, the, you know, growth on the money and you know, what you put in is tax-free withdrawal and does not have to be repaid. And that would be as a comparison to a RSP home buyer's withdrawal, which, of course, you can take up to a maximum of $35,000 out of your RSP for first-time home purchase, but you must repay that over 15 years. Otherwise, it comes back into income for tax purposes. And then, so the first-time savings account is, again, a hybrid between a TFSA and an RSP and should be looked at on what a person should be doing. If a person could do both, and you can, you're allowed to do both withdrawals, up to $40,000 for a first home savings account and $35,000 from an RSP, you know, that may be an option as well for people who've started RSPs, you know, have an account built up but still have not, you know, purchased their first home. Again, you know, planning. Planning is the key.
All about planning. Scott Bjornsson is here, Senior Investment Advisor with Living Sky Financial, IA Private Wealth. State of the markets, the interest rates. What's your overall look at the market right now?
Interest rates should, going forward, stay relatively stable in Canada. I mean, we do see that it may take up to a year, year and a half before interest rates start to decline. We're getting a lot of, obviously, you know, questions on mortgages today. We're getting questions on, you know, guaranteed investment certificates, GICs, and bonds. You know, what terms should we be looking at? And I think sometimes, you know, people, for example, I'll use GICs as an example, where we've been, you know, seeing GICs that, you know, have been over 5%, which is, you know, something we haven't seen in a very, very long time, I mean, 18, 19 years. And, you know, if those may remain for some special offers right now on 1 year, but 5 year, of course, have come down because we know interest rates are going to decline in the future as we go forward, or should, you know, basically once we get inflation under control and go back to a more normal range. So, but even longer term, you know, things like GICs are looking more attractive today, even at lower rates, whether they be around, you know, 4.25%, 4.3%, somewhere in that range, maybe a little bit higher when there's specials offered on certain ones. And they still look very attractive because in 2 or 3 years, we may not come close to getting those types of interest rates. So similar with bonds, we're in one of those unique bond buying markets where things are at a discount and yields are higher, you know, above 5% in some cases for 4 and 6 years. That's our super opportunity. But mortgages, I think, are the tough one for people because, I mean, you know, right now you see, you know, this interesting, you know, high interest rates on mortgages for 1 year, flexible mortgages, you know, where people are looking at maybe, you know, potentially thinking of selling, and the interest rates are even higher yet. 3 and 5 year mortgages, a lot of banks have been offering, you know, the same rate on 3 years or 5 years as they do on three to entice people into longer term mortgages. But we're not sure that longer term mortgages are for everybody right now with the higher rates, because interest rates, again, are expected based on the cycle, interest rate cycle, to decline over the next, you know, 1.5 to 2.5 years. And so maybe a medium term mortgage for somebody is better. And even for those who have a lot of flexibility, perhaps even a floating rate, you know, mortgage is better in the future as it comes down with interest rates.
What do you mean by medium rate?
Well, medium term. So locking in for 2 or 3 years versus locking in for
gotcha.
Five.
All right. Right.
And then, you know, floating rate is not for everybody. That I think, you know, people have to be aware of. You have to have flexibility in your financial institution to look at a floating rate mortgage. Because what if interest rates do end up going a little higher than expected? Then your mortgage rate could increase before it starts to decrease. And so you have to have some flexibility built in. So I think there, again, it comes really down to people, you know, doing some overall planning. And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying the banks do a bad job of this, but I mean, their interest is to get you into a mortgage for a longer term at a higher rate, which makes them money. And as an investor in the bank stocks, I'm pleased with that because I want them to make money. But I want my clients to benefit from, you know, something that's not going to be overly expensive for them in the long term.
Scott Bjornsson, we are out of time. Senior Investment Advisor with Living Sky Financial, IA Private Wealth. If anyone ever wants to contact you or find more information, where should they go?
LivingSkyFinancial.ca, and give us a shout at our office and arrange an appointment at your convenience, 306-343-3700.
Scott Bjornsson.